we commit ourselves to the construction of a complete, just, and lasting peace. We understand it still that there is no easy road to freedom. We know it well that none of us acting alone can achieve success. We must therefore act together as a united people for national reconciliation, for nation building, for the birth of a new world. Let there be justice for all. Let there be peace for all. The sun shall never set on so glorious a human achievement. Let freedom reign.
During my lifetime, I have dedicated myself to this struggle of the African people. I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die. Nelson Mandela. Welcome to Current Sports on this December 6th, 2013. As many of you know, a man that inspired countless generations passed away yesterday at the age of 95. Nelson Mandela, a man of peace, perseverance, humility. I mean, the words are endless, folks. I still remember to this day my grandfather telling me about Mandela and being an African-American male and learning about what he meant for blacks across the world and what he meant to the fight for equal rights for all people. It inspired me. Now, this isn't a time to mourn his death, but to celebrate his life. Mandela lived a long and fruitful one, a life of 10 men, as some say, impacting millions. And his connection to the world of sports is undeniable. He was an amateur boxer and used sport to try and unite the country of South Africa during the 1995 Rugby World Cup, where he famously wore a Springbok jersey when handing the trophy over. And on today's Current Sports, we are asking you all to call in and share your thoughts on the man known as Madiba, or son to South Africa, and son to this world, to be honest with you. Nelson Mandela, share your thoughts on this incredible man by calling in at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. In the meantime, we have so much to get to on today's show, including Robinson Cano, who just got paid, folks. We'll let you know how much in just a second. Jameis Winston is not charged, and I sit down with Steve Fenimore, the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. Folks, here are your Current Sports headliners on this December 6th, 2013. Again, Nelson Mandela, who became one of the world's most beloved statesmen and of the 20th century, was when he emerged from 27 years in prison to negotiate an end to white minority rule in South Africa, that being one of his most memorable moments of what he's known for, really. Again, he died at 95 years old. South African President Jacob Zuma made the announcement at a news conference late Thursday, saying, "We've lost our greatest son." President Barack Obama said the world lost an influential, courageous, and profoundly good man with Mandela's death. Speaking from the White House, Obama said Mandela, quote, "no longer belongs to us. He belongs to the ages. I am one of the countless millions who drew inspiration from Mandela's life." And he went on to continue to say, this is from President Obama, "and like so many people around the globe, I cannot fully imagine my own life without the example that Nelson Mandela set. Again, we are asking all of you out there to call in and share your thoughts on this incredible man and the incredible legacy that he now leaves behind as he passes away at the age of 95. A very, very fruitful life. Nelson Mandela, give us a call at 517-355-9527. Okay, the MSU football team landed two commits in less than 24 hours this week, folks. The Spartans hosted official visitors Montez Sweat, a class of 2014 Georgia tight end who committed on Thursday, and defensive tackle Craig Evans, a four-star recruit who has been committed to Wisconsin. Now, the idea, Michigan State Director of College Advancement slash Camp Director Curtis Blackwell said, was to take advantage of the number one ranked Spartans basketball midweek game against North Carolina and the football team's practice for Saturday's Big Ten title game against Ohio State in Indianapolis. This is from Blackwell, quote, "They got a chance to take a closer look into our athletic program, experience a big-time college basketball game, and see us practice, at football practice, that is. We felt that was better than having some in this weekend when campus is empty." Now, Blackwell said the basketball team's loss to UNC shouldn't have any effect on how the prospects feel about MSU. Blackwell went on to say, "It was less about the loss and more about the Spartan experience. Many unofficial visitors were also spotted in the Breslin Center crowd, including prospects that are already committed to Michigan State." Also want to note that Michigan State's Shalee Calhoun was named a finalist for the 2013 Ted Hendricks Defensive End of the Year Award, which honors the nation's top defensive end. Calhoun, the 2013 Big Ten Defensive Lineman of the Year, registered a team-high 7 sacks, 13.5 tackles for loss, and 17 quarterback hurries through the end of the regular season. He has forced 2 fumbles, recovered 4, yes, 4, and returned 2 of those to the house for touchdowns. Now, Calhoun also added a 56-yard interception return for a touchdown, giving him 3 scores this season. At one point, Shalik himself was outscoring MSU's offense, folks. Now, this year's winner will be announced Wednesday, December 11th. 2 Big Ten standouts have won the Hendricks Award, Michigan's Lamar Whitley in 2006 and Illinois Whitley Mercellius in 2011. So Shalik Calhoun also has a chance to win that incredible honor. All right, Reggie Bush, not good news for Detroit Lions fans out there. Reggie Bush's calf seems to be improving, though, but slowly. After missing Wednesday's practice and only participating in light work on Thursday, the Lions running back was back in action today. The Lions have held Bush out of practices throughout the year, usually giving him a day off to help any nagging injuries. It was 2 consecutive days off that raised eyebrows and welcome questions about his health. But he was back today and didn't seem limited in the portion of practice available to the media. Now, the Lions were without rookie corner Darius Slay, however, who injured his knee on Thursday. No word on the severity of that injury. All right, Red Wings, start taping 24/7, folks. One of the most well-regarded sports documentary series has its eyes set on the Detroit Red Wings. For the 3rd season, the HBO 24/7 series is filming the next few weeks leading up to the NHL Winter Classic, which takes place at Michigan Stadium, where the Wings will take on the Toronto Maple Leafs on New Year's Day. Now, the series began filming in the Red Wings locker room and on the ice Thursday, getting footage for the December 14th premiere. The 4-part series chronicles both teams as they prep for the outdoor game, one of the marquee regular season events in the NHL. Now, for coaches and players, the added attention and cameras will provide an extra challenge to maintain focus. Justin Abdelkader doesn't see it as much of a challenge. He went on to say, quote, "It's not like I've been waiting for the day, but hopefully the episodes will be cool to watch." And while Coach Mike Babcock may not like the extra distraction, he sees it as a necessary evil. They believe it's a bigger seller for the game, so if it's good for the game, I'm all about the game. That's from Coach Mike Babcock. So again, they have started filming HBO 24/7, a very cool documentary series on HBO. You got to check it out. I have not seen the Red Wings version of this. I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out. Okay, Winston won't face charges, folks. In an oddly upbeat press conference, Florida State Attorney William Meigs announced that Florida State quarterback and Heisman front frontrunner Jameis Winston will not face sexual assault charges from an incident that occurred in 2012. Meggs said, quote, "We've carefully examined all the evidence in this case and have concluded that no charges will be filed against anyone in the case. We have a duty as prosecutors to determine if each case has a reasonable likelihood of conviction. After reviewing the facts in this case, we do not feel that we can reach those burdens." Now, the Tallahassee Police Department has drawn heavy scrutiny for handling of the case, which took 11 months, yes, 11 months to reach Meggs' office. Now, Winston, who would have faced an immediate suspension if charges were filed, finally released a statement after remaining silent on the matter for the last few weeks. Winston went on to say, "It's been difficult to stay silent through the process, but I never lost faith in the truth and who I am." Now, Meg strongly denied the notion that Winston received preferential treatment in the case, saying, "We try to treat everyone fairly, and I think we have a track record of doing that." So, and to go back about that press conference, if you saw the press conference yesterday, I mean, there were some smiles. I mean, there was a kind of a jovial mood. I don't know if anybody should be, you know, smiling or cracking any smiles in a situation like this, but hey, that's just me. It was a really odd press conference, folks. All right, Cano to Mariners. Rob, the deal is complete with a no-trade clause and will be completed on Monday when Cano travels to Seattle for a physical. Robinson Cano, of course, he's going to the Seattle Mariners. 10-year contract worth $240 million. Yes, $240 million over the span of 10 years. Now, the monster deal is the third highest in MLB history and is tied with Albert Pujols' deal with the LA Angels before the 2012 season. Now, A-Rod owns the top two spots with his $252 million deal in 2000, and that's with the Rangers, and his $275 million extension with the 07 Yankees. Now, the 31-year-old slugger will be under contract into his 40s and deserves. So, I mean, $240 million, though, oh my, that's a lot of money. Okay, the Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the hottest teams in the AFC as they down Houston 27-20 on Thursday night. Chad Henne threw two touchdown passes. Jordan Todman scored on some trickery, and the Jaguars held on. The Jags won their third straight and fourth victory in five games under first-year coach Gus Bradley. They have the longest winning streak, folks, the longest winning streak in the AFC. Jacksonville also won at home for the first time since November 25th, 2012, when they played against the Tennessee Titans. Houston is now 2-11, extending its franchise record losing streak to, get this, 11 games. Matt Schaub completed 17 of 29 passes for 198 yards with a touchdown and an interception, and Andre Johnson caught 13 passes for 154 yards. And this is breaking news, folks. Breaking news here. After losing their 11th consecutive game, as I just stated, head coach Gary Kubiak has been fired as of about an hour or so ago. Yes, Gary Kubiak has been fired as the head coach of the Texans. He spent 8 seasons, I believe, with the team. Wade Phillips will serve as the interim head coach. So Gary Kubiak has been fired after their 11th consecutive game losing for the Texans. Tough stuff there. All right. Martin has second interview. Attorney, Ted Wells was interviewing Miami Dolphins tackle Jonathan Martin for a second time Thursday as the attorney had an investigation into issues of workplace conduct. Now, Martin, who left the Dolphins for undisclosed mental health issues, first met with Wells for more than 7 hours. That took place on November 15th. Now, Incognito also has met with Wells. He cut a deal last month that delayed his expedited hearing and allowed the Dolphins to suspend him for an additional 2 games. Now, the Dolphins must reinstate or waive Incognito by December 16th. The team placed Martin on the non-football illness list Saturday, ending his season. Also, to know breaking news, other breaking news, the U.S. has been drawn to Group C. Yes, Group C of the World Cup, and will play Ghana in the opener and Germany in the third match. Tough draw for the U.S. We'll see how that pans out for them. Well, those are your current sports headliners on this December 6th, 2013. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of them, give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We are taking your calls throughout this entire show. Call right now or even leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. And if you're following me on Twitter, of course, you know that our current sports question of the day. We want you to call in. We're trying to get you all to call in and talk about Nelson Mandela. He is one of the most inspirational figures this world has ever seen. Again, he passes away at the age of 95. You all know that. Share your thoughts on Mandela by calling 517-355-9527. And if you know about Nelson Mandela, you know that sports were a major part of Mandela's public life. His most memorable gesture came when he strolled into the field before the 1995 Rugby World Cup final in Johannesburg. When he came on the field in South Africa, he came out in one of the jerseys for the teams, and the entire crowd went crazy. Screaming, and the crowd started chanting Nelson, Nelson, Nelson. An unbelievable moment. He goes back to his history when you talk about sports and Mandela. He was actually an amateur boxer. The history is very rich with Nelson Mandela, and there was actually a movie made about the Rugby World Cup when he talked about uniting his country and the world really with sports, and unbelievable job done in that movie. He also has another movie coming out as Idris Elba plays him and gives an account of his life, which will be coming out very, very soon. The sports world definitely took to social media and many media outlets to express their sadness of the passing of Nelson Mandela. This is from Tiger Woods. Quote, "It's sad for everyone who got a chance to not only meet him, but I've been influenced by him. I got a chance to meet him with my father back in 1998. He invited us to his home, and it was one of the most inspiring times I've ever had in my life." Boxing great Muhammad Ali said Mandela inspired others to, quote, "reach for what appeared to be impossible." What I will remember most, this is coming from Muhammad Ali, what I remember most about Mr. Mandela is that he was a man whose heart, soul, and spirit could not be contained or restrained by racial and economic injustices, metal bars, or the burden of hate and revenge. Ali said that in a statement through his foundation. Even LeBron James, he took to social media and had this to say, quote, "In his 95 years, he was able to do unbelievable things, not only for South Africa, but for the whole world. What he meant to this world while he was able to be here is everything." And I'll read one more. This is from sprinter Usain Bolt. Of course, Bolt is a sprinter for the Jamaican team. Quote, "One of the greatest human beings ever, the world's greatest fighter." And Pele also wrote, one of the what many consider to be the greatest soccer player to ever live, Pele, he took to social media saying, quote, "He was my hero, my friend." Sad stuff there. Again, Nelson Mandela, the sports world taking to social media and expressing their sadness of the passing of Nelson Mandela. We are asking all of you out there, if you want to call in, you can also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR and express your thoughts on the passing of Nelson Mandela, one of the greatest human beings this world has ever known. Okay, all right, well, let's take a quick break. When we return to Current Sports, you will get to hear my sit-down with this week's Current Sports TV guest. Now, last night, if you were a bit confused and you turned on the tube and said, hey, where's Current Sports TV at? It was 10 o'clock at night, and you're tuned in, flocking to the TV. Well, of course, with the passing of Nelson Mandela, PBS decided to give a tribute to him and play a few documentaries on his life, deservingly so. Current Sports TV, this sit-down with Steve Fenimore, if you want to see it, it has been rescheduled to air on Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. So that's Saturday night, 10:30 p.m., and you can catch my sit-down with Steve Fenimore. We're going to play it on the show for you today, and you'll get to hear that sit-down in just a sec. Steve is the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, such a passionate guy, and call in 517-355-9527. We're taking your calls throughout this entire show. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. Again, I'm your host, Al Martin. Welcome back to the show. Well, today, of course, we are paying homage to one of the greatest human beings this world has ever known, Nelson Mandela, as he passes away at the age of 95. We're asking you to call in. And Nelson Mandela, he loved sports so much. Actually, a pretty cool picture that's posted online that many of my friends from Detroit have been posting to their Instagram pages and Facebook pages. A picture of Nelson Mandela rocking a Pistons hat and a Pistons jacket, man. It's a pretty cool picture. I'll post that on my Facebook page and my Twitter page. It's a very cool picture. But Nelson loves sports. And, you know, as he just touched everybody he came in contact with. And, again, if you want to call in and express your thoughts on Nelson Mandela, who is such an unbelievable individual, again, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, again, Current Sports TV, it got bumped last night to Saturday night, 10:30 p.m., as I sat down with East Lansing boys basketball coach Steve Fenimore. Steve, such a passionate, one of the most competitive coaches you will ever meet in your entire life. If you've been to an East Lansing boys varsity basketball game, you can catch Steve yelling on the sidelines, turning red. I mean, so much emotion bottled up on those sidelines. But, you know, he does a great job at teaching the game of basketball and impacting the lives of the kids that he teaches. Unbelievable stuff there. Again, that episode will be re-aired on Saturday at 10:30 p.m. But we're going to play it here on today's Current Sports. And you know what? I first asked Steve. You know, he's from Brooklyn. He's got the BK accent and everything. You know, and Brooklyn is very huge, very, very big when you talk about the game of basketball. And I had to ask Steve how it was growing up in the BK.
Well, growing up in the Park Slope section of Brooklyn way back in the day in the 70s and early 80s, everywhere you go, there's a basketball court. There's an outdoor schoolyard. There's a park where guys play, and it's just what you did because you saw the older guys doing it. And as I probably picked the game up when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and we used to go out in the school. We didn't have a gym. The parish that I attended, the school I went to, Holy Name of Jesus, we didn't have a gym. We had a church and we had a school building, and that was it. So we played all our games, all our practices outside on the team, and we were a travel team, so we'd play all the away games. We would have to shovel the snow. So you just, you know, you had a love for the game and just being around the schoolyard all the time. You know, because sometimes things at home, you know, you were getting yelled at by your dad or your mom, and you're like, where do I got to go? You had to find a place to go. So we ran to the schoolyard. We played ball every single day after school, Saturdays and Sundays.
Oh, my gosh. I got to ask you, how good were you when you back in your heyday?
It's funny. When I tell the guys today at East Lansing, you know, I said, gosh, I would have dunked that or I would have made that three. We didn't have threes back then, but
yeah.
I played a lot. You know, I played against some great players. I wasn't a great player, but I thought I was pretty solid. Right. You know, I played the one and the two. You know, I was a good shooter. You know, I drove the lane. I always fed the big guys. And that's the problem with today's game. You know, I don't think the guards, you know, these so-called combo guards, these scoring guards, they don't give the big guys the ball. If they were smart, they would feed the big guy, and the big guy would be his best friend for life.
Right. That's true. That's always a good thing, right?
Yeah, and that's what I used to do. I used to feed the big guys. Whenever we played pickup ball, even for the school team that I played on, we always fed the big guy.
You know, an interesting aspect, you talk about today's game nowadays, Steve, an interesting aspect now to specifically the college game, the hand-checking rule.
Yeah.
It seems as though anytime somebody gets the ball, now we've seen many whistles blown this season so far. What are your thoughts on the hand-checking rule? Because it seems as though if you're guarding somebody, if you even touch the guy with your hand, if you even breeze him by with your hand, the whistle's being blown. What are your thoughts on that hand-checking rule?
You know, Al, I grew up, like I said, in the 70s. The game was physical back then. You know, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Lakers. I like physical play. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
So the game is becoming too soft.
You know what? You said that, not me. I'm not going to say that.
I said
that.
I will go on record as saying that.
But there are a lot of coaches out there that do not like the physical play. Here's the thing as a ball player. When you have the ball, you don't want no one touching you. But when you're on defense, you want to get physical with guys. So you're almost like, you know, which way do you go? Coaches like Coach Izzo, you know, here at Michigan State, he loves the physical game. He likes the contact. You know, we got to remember, everyone tries to compare LeBron with Michael Jordan. Jordan took a lot of physical abuse by a lot of Detroit Pistons.
Oh, yeah, the bad boys.
The Jordan rules. And there was so much physicality back then. And if Jordan played today, he would live on the foul line.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Now, Steve, when did your love of coaching begin?
When I was 16 years old, I would say probably about 1980, 1981-ish, there was a seventh grade team that needed a coach. We had a sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade team. And I was just hanging around doing nothing, you know. So the guy came to me one day, asked me if I wanted to coach, and I had no idea what coaching was. You know, I remember playing for coaches and stuff, but I had no idea what I was doing. We're practicing in the schoolyard. You know, I'm making these kids do suicides, running up and down the court. We're running fast break drills, and we were freezing out there, but we didn't care. We loved it. And I just, I found something, being able to teach someone and help them and then watch them, you know, execute the drill. You know, and you say to yourself, wow, that's a good feeling. So I stuck with it. I coached seventh grade basketball for a couple of years. And then I started coaching AAU basketball. And I really got the bug when I was like 19, 20. And then I got a chance to coach at our local high school, Bishop Ford High School, an all-boys school at the time. And I coached a freshman team there. And I had the time of my life. And ever since then, I kept learning and learning. And then when I made my move out here, you know, I got a chance to work with Coach Izzo and the team here at Michigan State. And you know, coaching's like playing. You should never stop learning. We always tell our players, you know, get better in the offseason. Coaches got to do the same thing. And ever since I was 16, I try to learn something new every day about coaching.
Now, I want to talk about your connection to the MSU men's basketball team and Coach Izzo. We were talking, you know, a minute ago about your connection and what you've learned being around them. How did that happen, first of all? How did you get to, how did you make that connection?
Al, it's a great story. In 1996, at the time, she was my girlfriend. She's my wife now. We wanted to get out of New York. She was from Detroit originally, but she was living in New York, and we met there. And I had never gone to college, you know. So I was going for a couple of varsity jobs. You know, this is how much I loved coaching. But I kept getting turned down. I'd go to the interview, get to the second interview, and they would take the other candidate. And it was always the same thing. I didn't have a college degree. So my wife saw how, you know, upset, you know, I was really upset. I get depressed at times, you know, getting turned down for a job. So she says, I got a great idea. So we left New York City to move to East Lansing, Michigan, only because her dad was a professor here at the time. So he helped the move. It was really smooth, the transition.
Wow.
But here's something, part of that story. Fran Fraschilla, who's on ESPN right now, he's one of the top analysts. I told him a couple of nights before we were leaving, I said, hey, Coach, because I was really good friends with him. He was coaching at Manhattan College at the time. I said, Coach, I'm coming by to say goodbye. You know, I'm moving out to East Lansing. It was after one of his games against Canisius, and John Beilein was the coach of Canisius at the time. Fran takes a card out of his pocket, and it's his little cheat sheet with the ref's names on it, the other team's plays. It's folded up into like six different, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I still have it to this day.
Do you?
And he pulls it out, and he takes a marker, a black marker, and he writes Tom Crean's name and number on it. So I look at it, and I'm like, Tom Crean, 355-1643, 517 area code. So he goes, when you get out to East Lansing, you call Tom Crean, and you tell him you're friends with me. So I get, long story short, I get out to East Lansing, I call. Crean's not there. He's at the Final Four, you know.
Yeah.
All the coaches go to the Fring Convention.
He's got more better things.
I walked down. I walked like 20 minutes to the Breslin. I went down, like I said, long story short, Tom Crean was my connection, introduced me to Coach Izzo. I enrolled at Lansing Community College, went there for 2 years. Then I enrolled at Michigan State. And Coach Izzo let me be a student manager. It was great.
Unbelievable.
It's a great story.
That is
great
a great story, Steve.
Yeah.
That just blew my mind just now.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
I got to ask you, Steve, now you being the head coach here at East Lansing High School, I want to talk about this year's team and the expectations you have for them and how you guys ended last season. Let's talk about last season, first of all. You guys lose to Waverly.
Yes.
And, you know, say bye, you know, and you guys bid adieu. And talk about that season a little bit.
Last year was up and down. We had a couple of losing streaks, maybe 3-4-game losing streaks.
Yeah.
We had a couple of winning streaks, 4-5-game winning streaks. We really turned it around at the Breslin. They have a holiday hoops tournament there every Christmas. And we played Martin Luther King. And we ran them out of the gym. And prior to that, we had played really poorly the game before. I think it was Holt that we lost to. So we came out, we were making shots, and someone came to me after the game and said, Steve, you guys look like you're ready to break through. We wound up going 12-10. We got a bye in the districts. We beat Everett in the second round. Mm-hmm. It was a great game at DeWitt. Then we have to face Waverly now in the district finals. And we had lost to them the week before. At the end of the year, we have 2 non-conference games. We have to fill 2 dates. So my athletic director, Tom Hunt, who's a great guy, does a great job. He schedules us every year, Lansing Catholic and Waverly. 2 teams who won their conference, you know, and 2 years ago, Lansing Catholic was 19-0, and we were going into their place.
Right.
And so anyway, they beat us by 20, and we're like, okay, we got a solid team coming back next year. I have Akeel Mitchell and Devontae Haynes, Haynes' younger brother, who are two seniors this year, really good players. And I've brought a couple of freshmen up, too. I've brought Xavier Odom up and Weston Miles, who's the younger brother of Clarissa Bell's little brother.
How about that? All right.
Yeah,
okay.
We have a nice mixture of some upperclassmen, some underclassmen, and the upperclassmen, I'm real proud of them. They've been great coaches on the floor because I always say the best coaches are the players, believe it or not, as crazy as that sounds, because, you know, they're out there on the floor. They're on the floor and practicing the games. And if you see a teammate not doing something the right way or not doing something well, you have to hold him accountable. Because you and him are together for so long. I mean, I'm only with the players for 2 hours a day, you know, at practice. But you guys are in class together all day. Maybe you're hanging out at the mall together. So you guys got to hold each other accountable. So the players have to be the coaches.
Season right around the corner. And, you know, we talked about, you know, before we kicked off the show today, one of the most difficult parts of your job, Steve, and you're going to shock a lot of people with this answer. Go ahead. Tell people what is the most difficult part of being a coach for you is.
Well, I think the most difficult part of being a high school basketball coach is when tryouts start and you get a ton of kids in your gym and you go through 3-4 days of tryouts and you know who's going to make your team. You have an idea. Maybe the 11th and 12th spot up for grabs. You want to find a great kid, good student, you know, good character, a kid who won't mind sitting at the end of the bench. After 4 days, cutting kids is the hardest thing in my job. And I don't know if anyone would agree with me, but I've talked to some of my peers, and they've agreed with me. Telling a kid, Al, listen, you know, things just didn't work out for you this week. You tried your hardest. I saw you. You were sprinting up and down the court. You know, maybe your skill level's not as high as the others. You know, you're only a junior. So I would recommend you pick up basketball. You get to play it as much as you can. Go to camps, you know, come back out next year and try out and give it another shot your senior year. And the kid walks away. Some of them have tears in their eyes, because they've worked so hard for this moment. Mm-hmm. I've actually almost shed tears a couple of times. It takes me about a week to get over it, believe it or not.
Wow. It was a week ago to this day that you actually had to cut some.
And you know, there's some people might say, oh, he's soft. You know, look at him, you know, toughen up there, coach. But no, it's because I have a daughter, a 14-year-old daughter. Right. And I think when you become a parent as a coach, your perspective on the whole profession changes.
Yeah, real men cry, okay? Stop it, man.
You know what? I cried 2 years ago after we lost to Okemos in the districts, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with crying.
If you're passionate about what you do, I mean, that's emotion, right?
Whoever came up with, you know, grown men don't cry, big guy, boys don't cry, to me, that's just a myth.
Exactly.
That's a myth.
Now, Coach, you guys are on the brink of the season. For you, I mean, something very interesting to you about when I came here as a sports reporter, young sports reporter, and you know, reported around here, around the area. Steve, you are one of the most competitive coaches I have ever seen in my entire life. Where does that competitiveness come from? I mean, because you're on the sidelines, you're turning red out there.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it really is. You know what? I got to admit, being around Coach Izzo so much, you know, in those 2 years I was with him.
That'll do it.
It opened my eyes, especially when you put a lot of time in. I think, you know, you talked about Coach D'Antonio earlier, had that great interview with him. By the way, you're the first media member that I've seen here make him smile, actually.
Really?
So kudos to you. But I don't know if the average Michigan State fan realizes, I know they have a good football team and a good basketball team, but I don't think they realize the two leaders they have in Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo. Because to me, there's no one better than those two. And I think my competitive nature comes from a lot from Coach Izzo. When I was younger, I had some coaches that really drove us, and they weren't really obsessed about it. You know, people say, Coach, you're too obsessed. I have another word for that. I call it dedicated. You know, I put every ounce of fiber that I have into things. I watch film till 3-4 in the morning. You know, I go over scouting reports. You know, while we're off on a Friday night and everybody's just hanging out, I'll go watch Holt and Lansing Catholic and I'll scout the game. So I guess in a nutshell, you can say I love it. And Al, like you got a lot of enthusiasm. You know, I think Woody Allen said it once. You know, if you're not enthused about what you're doing, you know, maybe you should get out. So when I see coaches up and down the court screaming and barking, and most of the people in the gym, They're clueless to what I'm saying. There's a perception that I'm yelling at the kids, but I'm really not. And they don't see me during the week. I'm the same way in practice. You know, you were over. I'm the same way in practice. So it's nothing like where I turn it on, turn it off. I'm actually like this around the house too. My daughter gets a little shaky when she sees me.
Around the house too?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, that's a scary house.
I know it. I know it is.
Steve, really quickly, before we let the 12th man get at you on social media, we're going to take it to Twitter this time. Favorite Tom Izzo story. Give me a really quick Tom Izzo story.
Gosh, you know, one time we were in a ballroom in Chicago. We were in a Big Ten tournament. And we had just, I can't remember who we beat. We came back to the hotel, and they were going through the walkthrough. David Thomas, Mateen Cleaves, Morris Peterson. And there's a ton of Izzo stories, so I'm just going to throw this one out there.
Yeah.
And Mike Garland, his assistant coach, him and Tom are like, they're best friends. And Mike's great, you know. We were standing, everybody was standing around the makeshift court. We as managers put tape down on the ballroom floor, and we were going over the opponent's, you know, defense or offense, whatever it was. It was in 2000, and we're leaning up against the walls. And it must have been about 3-4 in the morning, you know. So Mike Garland is standing off to the side, and there's a big chandelier, and it's hanging down. It's really low. It's like at eye level. So Mike, and this is more of a Mike Garland story, but I looked at Izzo, and Izzo just, like, shook his head and left. Mike fell asleep and banged into the chandelier, and the chandelier started rocking, and things were quiet because Izzo was like instructing, going over something, and everyone just cracked up laughing, and Izzo just looked at him like, give him this look. It was priceless. But if I was Coach Izzo, and who am I to give him advice, but he should write a book when he's finished coaching, because he's been through so much,
right?
And he's such a tremendous person.
Good stuff. That's a great story, Steve.
It really is.
You got 5 minutes left, man.
I do.
We're going to let the 12th man get at you really quick. Folks, stick around, because the 12th man starts right now. All right, it's time for the 12th man. You ready, Steve?
Absolutely.
This is the 12th man where we're going to take to social media this week. We're going to switch things up. We're going to go to my Twitter page at AlMartinWKAR. And they got a lot of questions for you out here, Steve.
Awesome. All right.
First question comes from Tanya from Detroit. Do you think coaches are given too much blame when a team struggles?
I think they do get too much blame, but we also get a lot of credit when we win. It's always a collective situation. It should be the players and the coaches. For some reason, the public tends to blame the coaches, though, a lot more.
So too much heavy on the coaches, either way, win or lose.
I think so. You got to look at the team, see what kind of team you have. You know, it's different at all levels, pro, college, and high school. You know, I don't get to choose my players, like recruiting in college and drafting in the NBA. So it's tough. Coaching's not as easy as it used to be, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I can just imagine, man. All right. Thanks a lot, Tanya. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Jennifer from Okemos. Jennifer wants to ask, Tom Izzo seems to dismiss Twitter, while you seem to have quite a social media presence. What positives can social media provide coaches, and has it changed the way you find that you communicate and relate to players?
I think it has changed the way we do communicate. You know, the kids today, the high school kids, the college kids, they're all about texting, they're all about tweeting. You know, as far as Coach Izzo is concerned, he's an old school guy, you know. Coach loves phone-to-phone conversation, face-to-face conversation. But now he realizes all the kids are into the social media. I think Coach Izzo would be a blast on Twitter, by the way.
Oh, he'd be hilarious.
Because he is one of the funniest guys you can ever meet, no matter what you see, you know, on the sidelines. He's definitely one of the funniest guys. It's great for recruiting, too, in college. Like John Calipari and Tom Crean are on. So people are following them. They're following the recruits. You know, it's a great news feed, too. You get a lot of links to great stories when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, during the day. You can always find some good stuff on Twitter.
Without a doubt. Well, thanks a lot, Jennifer. All right, let's go to Mike from DeWitt. How tough is it to get kids to buy into certain roles on the team? Is that harder than the X's and O's type of stuff?
That's a great question, because every kid today and probably all their parents want him to score 20 points or her score 20 points and get their name in the paper the next day. Mm-hmm. The thing is, if you play together and share the ball and play defense and cheer for your teammate, you're going to have team success and your team will go farther in the tournament. You know, I always like to say, guys, you're not rivals, you're teammates, so make each other better.
That is a very, very good message. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. And last but certainly not least, we have Alex from East Lansing. Is there, you know what? He stole my question. You know what I mean? When I asked you about Tom Izzo.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he wants to ask if you had any other Tom Izzo stories for us.
I tell you, I thought of one after I told you the first one. When I was a student manager back in 2000, Coach Izzo put me in, we were running a fast break drill, and Coach Izzo had me watch Charlie Bell and David Thomas to make sure they're getting wide out, really wide in the lanes.
Yeah.
So I was yelling at Charlie, get wide, come on, get wide. So all of a sudden, Coach stops the drill, and he says to everybody, he says, did you hear what the guy from the Bronx just said? So everybody,
from the
like,
Bronx.
So everybody kind of laughs. So I said, so I walk over to Coach, I go, Coach, not for nothing, but I'm from Brooklyn. So a couple of minutes later, another manager comes over, he goes, Finnemore, you're the only guy that would correct Coach Izzo. So that's probably my best Izzo story. You know, a lot of these stories with Coach, you got to be there with him because he's such a witty guy, and you don't know if he's serious or being funny. So I had a great time with him, though. I learned so much.
Good stuff. Steve, when do you guys start the season?
December 10th, we're home against DeWitt.
Home against DeWitt, and what's your expectation for this year's team?
You know, Al, we want to play 500 ball. We want to get better each day. I made a big mistake maybe most of my coaching career. I worried about the wins too much, but we want to get better. The process is what it's about this year.
There you go, Steve Finnemore. He is the head coach over at East Lansing High School, head boys basketball coach. He's such a great, great guy. Again, the hardwood is, you know, I can hear the balls dribbling right now. High school basketball is right around the corner, and you can definitely depend on Current Sports to bring you local coverage each and every week. Thanks a lot, Steve, for joining me. Again, you can see that episode right now. It's posted online. If you go to video.wkar.org or go to wkar.org, you'll see the link, and you can watch that episode. Or if you want to watch it on your HDTV, you can watch that on Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. All right, well, let's take a quick break. Again, there's so much weekend action happening. Lions and Eagles, MSU and OSU, and also Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, what a show. I can't believe it's already Friday. Again, Current Sports, Alex Sharg and I will be hitting the road to Indy. That's right, to cover the Big Ten Championship game, Michigan State taking on Ohio State. Can't wait for that. I understand it's not good weather right now, so hopefully it all clears up by the time we leave. We're leaving on Saturday morning. Tomorrow morning we'll be heading out to cover that game and bring you guys coverage. You can tune in on Current Sports on Monday at 1 o'clock to hear all the post-game reaction from fans. We're going to go all out for you guys. Again, we'll be hitting the road. And also WKAR.org, we'll have a lot of video for you from that game. Okay, we're gonna talk about MSU and give you our MSU and OSU and give you our predictions in just a sec. You know, we haven't talked about the Lions that much this week. The Lions, they will be taking on the Eagles. Nick Foles and the Eagles this Sunday. The Lions trying to keep this ball rolling. They are coming off their statistically their best defensive effort of the year with that big win, that 42-10 win over the Green Bay Packers. Just didn't even make it close on Turkey Day. Now they take on the Eagles. Guys, what do you think is going to happen this Sunday with the Lions?
Let me just say this. Typically, MSU Spartans on the Lions don't fare well. Drew Stanton, Charles Rogers, Nick Foles, once a Spartan. So for that reason alone, I say the Lions win.
Lions win.
Lions will win.
What's the key for them?
Key for the Lions is just not being stupid. We saw it last game, just the stupid decisions. Stafford, even a couple games ago, throwing all those turnovers for a veteran quarterback. Yeah, it was a tougher defense, but you can't do that and expect to come out with a win.
Matt?
For me, I don't think it's going to be 40-10. That is for sure.
No, not at all.
This thing, depending on the weather, I kind of see a shootout coming. Because these are two top 10 passing teams and bottom 10 pass defense teams in the NFL. So basically it's going to be whoever's on the field last in my eyes, because I don't think either team is going to be able to stop the other once they get rolling. The Eagles, they are red hot.
They are.
The Lions finally woke up after 2 weeks of disappointing performances. It's going to be interesting to see which Lions team comes out to actually play, but I think they're going to have their hands full with the Eagles and Riley Cooper and DeSean Jackson and Nick Foles, who who, you know, he is a former Spartan, and he said great things about Michigan State and Coach D'Antonio this week.
He did.
And he's rooting for us hard in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah. Are you on the Nick Foles train right now? You like him?
You know, I had him on my fantasy team for 2 weeks, and he just laid a couple big-time eggs.
Big-time eggs.
It was that two-week period
Dinosaur-type eggs, where
he had just nothing going.
Right.
But since then, obviously, he's turned it on. I'm on the bandwagon. I hope he sticks there. Yeah. I hope he becomes the quarterback that Chip Kelly's looking for. At the very least, I hope he earns himself an NFL gig moving forward, whether it's with the Eagles or not.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so crazy. I mean, was when Vic, you know, got injured and, you know, Foles. And it was so odd because, you know, when that happened, Mike Vick was so encouraging when it came to Nick Foles. I don't know if you guys saw the press conference. He was like, yeah, we're a team. I'm rooting for him. You know, you don't see that type of camaraderie between two quarterbacks who are competing for each other for that job, that starting job. But Mike Vick, man, he's definitely turned the leaf after that whole dogfighting incident. He's We Are the World, Kumbaya, Nelson Mandela type of guy now.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable, man. But I tell you what, Foles is doing a great job right now throwing the long ball. He's been great. I mean, Foles hasn't thrown an interception in 19 TD passes. One shy right now of Peyton Manning's record of 20 TD passes without an interception. He's definitely taking care of the ball and seeing the field very, very well. He leads the league right now. His passer rating is 125.2. That's off the charts. Nick Foles with a passer rating of 125.2. The Lions, like you said, Alex, they got to take care of the ball. That's what this comes down to. The Lions, Matthew Stafford cannot force throws. He's got to see the field better. He's got to be better at not taking chances and trying to force things, because we've seen Matthew Stafford do that this season. He cannot do that in this game. If they do, I mean, going against a Lions secondary that is pretty bad, even though they did. I mean, you got to take that Packers game with a grain of salt. You're playing the Packers here without Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I understand 40-10. That's great and all, but they weren't a fully healthy team. But the Lions, like I said, the Lions, that secondary, I'm very nervous about that, because Nick Foles, we all know he loves to go deep, and we know the Lions are terrible at defending the deep ball. So I would definitely be looking at that. The Lions have been great against the run. I will say that. That defensive line, and they showed that against the Packers as well. I don't think you'll see a lot of running on the Lions, and that will force Nick Foles to throw the ball this Sunday. I think forcing Nick Foles to throw the ball is going to play out for the Lions, and I think that's a good thing for this team. So we'll see how that pans out. Again, the Lions are 4-0 right now against NFC East opponents since the start of 2011. Did you know that? Crazy, crazy.
That's crazy.
So I'm going with the Lions as well. I'm going to predict. Did we do our? I think we already did predictions.
We have not done
predictions for the Lions and Eagles. Alex, you started off, brother.
All right, I'm going to go with the Lions as well. Not 40-10, like Matt said. I'm going to say it's going to be 31-18.
High scoring. 31 points for the Lions, huh?
Yeah. I think Stafford will be okay. Look, as you said, the pass defense for the Eagles.
It's not great.
Not great. So.
Not great.
Same thing with the Lions, too, yeah. I could see a shootout. I could see that, Matt. I could definitely see a
shootout. You know, honestly, it depends on the weather.
Because the weather.
The big snowstorm is going to move through
right.
the Northeast this right. weekend. We'll see what kind of effects that has on the NFL in general, but Philly in particular. I'm going to take the Lions, too, though. I think it'll be 31-28.
31-28, gotcha. I'm going to go with the Lions 27-24. So I think it'll be a close one. So we'll see how this pans out. Of course, the big game tomorrow, MSU, OSU at Lucas Oil Stadium for the Big Ten Championship, guys. Again, just really, I think we've already done predictions on this as well, Matt. Alex, what are you going to be keying in for this game?
Man, things I'm going to be looking for. One, Mike Sadler, for me, has been that low-key difference maker all year. If he can really not make any big mistakes, make some really great punts, dial him into field territory, I honestly think he's going to be a difference maker, to be honest. And although it's hard to say, yeah, he's a punter, yeah, he's on special teams, we've seen so many times where this defense is just so good because they're able to hold them on just first, you know, a first drive, first play. You know, they can't get past that first four downs. And if Mike Sadler gets the ball deep enough and there aren't any plays or any turnovers where they're already in the Michigan State zone, I think that's going to be a key difference maker. So unlike most, I'm going to say Mike Sadler.
Mike Sadler is a difference maker. And you got MSU.
I got Ohio State.
You chose Ohio State. That's right. You did. Because we didn't get to do our pick-ems on the air, I believe.
Well, now, we did.
We did a few of them.
We didn't get to that game. After the show, Alex changed his pick.
Yeah, we didn't put you on. We're putting Alex on blast right now.
Because he flipped it.
This is off the air. This is in the confines of the current sports studio.
That's right.
And Alex said, you know what? I'm going with the Buckeyes this game.
But we're
going
to honor his changed pick.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get that point, try and be happy with it. Ugh. I don't know.
That's a catch 22 yeah. right there.
Ugh. I'm taking Michigan State. And what I'm looking for is, I want to see how Ohio State handles the pressure because, yes, they've won 24 consecutive games. Last year, they had nothing to play for with the postseason ban. This year, the game that they really needed to win, I mean, obviously they won every game. They looked great all year. But when the pressure was really on and when they were playing a team with nothing to lose, which was Michigan, they were in a dogfight to the last play of the game. I want to see how they respond in a new environment where they've never played in Indianapolis, where Michigan State has played, has a little bit of experience. They've been there before. They know what to expect.
Right.
I want to see how they play with everything at stake because, you know, if they win, they're in the national title game by all indications. If they lose, they're settling for an Orange Bowl.
Right.
I want to see how they respond when it matters,
right,
when they have a lot to lose. I want to see Braxton Miller in a big game.
Yeah,
and I want to see how they deal with the best defense they're going to face all year.
Right.
And if Ohio State loses, you guys, does that mean Auburn, if they win, they'll be playing, right? It seems so. Auburn will be playing in the national championship game.
If that pans out the way, I mean, the thing is, when I'm looking at this game, I think, you know, you talk about that pressure. Ohio State now has a lot of pressure on them. Michigan State, I mean, nobody really expected them to even be in this position.
No.
They can just go out there, let their hair down and just go out there and really play. That's it.
So if they lose this game, is it a failed season?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
I don't think not at all. I mean, if the season was to end right now, today, I don't think it would be a failed season at all. The thing about MSU this season, I always talk about that progression. That progression, you know, it's like seeing an infant grow up. It's like seeing a boy become a man. I mean, that's exactly what happened this season. I mean, the growth of this team has been unbelievable. And I tell you what, if they, you know, when you talk about the Rose Bowl implications for this team, you know, we talked about it on the show. If they get blown out, they can't go in here and get blown out, which I don't think is going to happen. But if they do, I don't think they stay in the top 14 and Rose Bowl goes out the window. If they make it, all you got to do is make it competitive. Go in there, make it competitive, and you're smelling roses. Sounds simple, right?
Sounds pretty simple. Sounds real simple.
Just make it competitive. Go in there, play your game, and you go to the Rose Bowl. Simple formula. I think MSU does do that. I'm going to be very interested to see how a sophomore quarterback in Connor Cook deals with a game of this magnitude as well. Because Connor now, I mean, you talk about him, he's a sophomore. This is a sophomore quarterback going against Braxton Miller, who's been, you know, tearing it up all year. We talked about Kenny Guyton as well. OSU's quarterbacks were great this season. But, I mean, you talk about Connor Cook now. He's a young quarterback. He goes in this type of atmosphere in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium on the national stage. How does he handle that? He's been handling pressure pretty well, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like he's almost more comfortable.
It's like it doesn't faze him
when the pressure's on.
Right.
I feel like throughout Big Ten play, I haven't looked at the numbers that closely, but I feel like he almost plays better on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when there's big moments, he was money on third downs.
Great on third downs when you need
him. Season. When the pressure's on, when he knows the blitz is coming.
Right.
He makes plays.
Well, the thing about love about Connor Cook is if you got a third and six, a third and five, a third and eight, whatever, he's not throwing it 5 yards on the third and eight or 6 yards on the third and eight. He knows where the sticks are. And that's something, that's a complaint I had about Andrew Maxwell. That's the complaint I had about, you know, the quarterbacks that I saw in the game, you know, when you talk about Tyler O'Connor. I've seen Tyler O'Connor do it a few times, your boy Alex. But Connor Cook knows the situation on third down, and he's going to try you. He's going to try to get that first down. He's so poised on third down. He's so poised when you need him to make a play. And we'll see if he stays poised
when you need him to come out with a huge game here at Lucas Oil Stadium with the spotlight on him. It's going to be interesting to see. Again, that MSU defense, I think they're going to have a great game. I said a few days ago, I'm looking at Darquez Denard, I'm looking at Trey Waynes. Guys, it really upset me that Denikos Allen did not get named. I need to get this off my chest as well. How does Denikos Allen not get named to the All-Big Ten first team defensively? That's ridiculous.
I don't know. If anything,
upset me. How?
The only defense I could say is that the Big Ten is...
They were stacked in linebackers this year.
It's just loaded with good linebackers.
Yeah, linebackers definitely, but Denikos Allen playing on the number one defense in the nation, Denikos does not get named as one of them.
And led the team in tackles.
Exactly. I don't get that. That's ridiculous to me. I think they dropped the ball in that regard. But going back to the defense, though, I think the defense is going to have a great game. A defensive line is going to force Braxton Miller to throw the ball. You got to watch him scrambling. But if those corners shut down Braxton Miller's passing ability, I'm pretty confident in that defensive line to step up and make some tackles. So it's going to be interesting. I can't wait for it, man. Again, Indy, tomorrow, MSU, OSU, Current Sports will be there. We will have coverage on Monday. So you don't want to miss Monday's radio show. Guys, really quickly, Nelson Mandela, such an inspirational figure to humanity, passing away at 95 years old. Yesterday. What were you guys' thoughts when you heard about his passing? I mean, it was kind of expected. I mean, he wasn't in great condition for months upon a time, but man, what a human being, right?
Yeah, and it was shocking how quickly the Barack Obama address turned around so quickly. It shows how monumental that was. That time is equivalent to even something with a natural disaster, anything so big within the hour, a press conference. So yeah, just a sad day. I just remember, you know, from Invictus to a bunch of other.
That's the name. I was trying to think of the name.
Yeah,
of the movie.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
Right. Exactly.
Matt Damon too.
Matt Damon was in that movie. Yeah.
He's just made a mark so much on the world, and someone like yourself with the tribute before the show, I can't imagine how you must be feeling right now. So.
Yeah, Matt.
I mean, he's one of the greatest men of the 20th century. I mean, he and especially the most influential and what he stood for. And as far as bringing in the sports angle, you know, he may have loved sports, but more than anything, I think he realized the impact sports has on people and the unifying right. aspects of it when you know, you are on a side. And, you know, whoever right. else is on that side with you, you're in it together, regardless of skin color or social status or class or whatever. You have a common bond, and he recognized how strong that could be even in a country that was as fragmented as South Africa.
That was very, very well put, Matt. And, you know, like you said, I mean, he realized how sports could unite a nation. We always talk about here on Current Sports going beyond the X's and O's. Sports are so much more than a win or a loss, you know, what you do out there on the field or the court. Sports bring, and we saw it around 9/11. I mean, when a tragedy like that happens, I mean, you know, and you have a sporting event after that, whether it be a baseball game, football game. I mean, it brings us together. And Nelson Mandela realized that, and, you know, he will definitely be missed. And like I said, I never forget, you know, my grandfather, you know, when I was about 8 years old, telling me about Nelson Mandela and what he did for what was going on in South Africa as far as apartheid, you know, was going on. And you know, his efforts, you know, were unbelievable. And he will truly be missed. Well, all right. Well, that's our show. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Steve Finnemore for joining me this week. Again, if you want to catch that Current Sports TV episode, you can do so on Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Steve, a great guest. Steve, thanks a lot. Again, next week, we're going to have Otis Wiley. Otis Wiley will be my Current Sports TV guest. You don't want to miss Otis. He is a sideline reporter now for the Spartan Sports Radio Network. Doing a great job there. Otis will be my guest next week. Be a part of the live audience by going to WKAR.org. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic weekend, and for those driving to Indy, I mean, really be safe. Snowstorm, guys. All right. Be easy, people.